Well, I want to take you on a little bit of a journey. And if you could just bow your head and agree, say, the Lord has given me grace, and now I need it to hear, and to see, and to perceive what your Holy Spirit is working on me, and working in me. Now that I'm full of Holy Ghost water, I'm going to make an impression wherever I go. Amen. That's a now word. Amen. I am going to take you to Revelation chapter 22. And you're probably going to start wondering why, but I believe that we need to be able to give freedom because freedom has been given to us. Amen? Now, these are the words that came through St. John. And we're going to kind of put something across, I pray, that will awaken you to a new level of freedom that you're to give out. Verse 8, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. Verse 9, but he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets. What is he talking about? I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets. Was this a regular angel or was this a man made perfect in Christ? A man made perfect in Christ. And he was communicating information. So this gives us a new concept of what it is to be an angelic being. And I'm not going to concentrate there. I just want you to see that this man was not looking for worship. In fact, he stopped it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the word of this book, worship God. Clear. Worship God. Then he told me, watch, verse 10. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Now, that's not a misprint. Take time to digest. How much of your conversation is trying to correct people? How much of your critical thoughts against those that are not quite right with you? That's all based in religion. It's not based in relationship. Do not, okay, seal up the words of the prophecy in this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Are those clear instructions? Let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Because who's making him holy to begin with? Yeah, it's not your job to adjust people unless you get a word that's going to build them up. How many would like to readjust a few people in their lives? Some of you got both hands up. Well, that's a very normal desire, but the Word of God tells us Leave him alone. You know why? Because he can do this job all by himself. He does not need you to meddle. Yet we have a tendency to correct. Or am I alone? How many of you have a tendency to correct? Okay. When I was at the communion table, I reminded you that Jesus gave a warning to Judas. Go do quickly what you've decided to do. He did not adjust him. Is that an example from the one who is able to change you? How many of you have the capacity of the Lord in you? Every one of us. We need to take an example of how he treated people. He respected their decisions, which is a lot more than I can say for most Christians. Okay? We have a tendency to readjust people to make them fit into what we call Christianity. And that way there, we will feel a lot better about ourselves. So it's not about them being vile and giving them the option to continue. Because when we're watching them act and react in a wrong way, we want to have peace in our body and in our minds in order to have a Christian walk. So if you guys do it all right, I'm going to be a happy man. Yes? So it's all about? And the Holy Ghost here is saying clearly, look, they've already decided to be vile. If they've decided to be ugly and to do wrong, let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. But then those who are doing right, celebrate them. I told you I was observing the people who have been high school graduates for 60 years, just a few weeks ago. And I happened to be going over my notes of the next day, and I was doing that yesterday. And I said, Lord, my observation was that the majority of those people were interested in partying, seeing each other, criticizing each other, finding fault with each other, and criticizing the food or complimenting the food. That's what I saw. I didn't see Holy Spirit having any kind of an influence in most of their lives. Most. I'm not judging, I was just observing. I believe St. John was observing what the angel had commissioned him. And he was trying to give John a peaceful space to walk in. Because it couldn't have been too pretty for John either. Remember, he had a whole bunch of people who couldn't stand his guts, and they put him on the island of Patmos. All right? He wasn't walking in the Holyoke Mall. Well, had he been well treated? No. Did he have some people that were continually doing wrong? All around him. Some were literally vile. And the angel is reinforcing him, don't judge. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Matthew 7. In the way you judge, it will be what? Come back to you. So we've got to have the awareness. Oh, well, if they would have only celebrated the feast with me, I would have had a wonderful time and they would be so changed. Amen. But they didn't choose to. And that's okay. I can remember the first couple of feasts that we had at Grace Church. The anointing was so intense because God was honoring his saints. And it was a challenge. And I shared this with Doug that at one particular night, probably about halfway through the feast, I found everybody in the main sanctuary in their pajamas and robes, worshiping the Lord in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. My expectation was that they were all going to be dead meat the next day. Literally, that they would be crawling. To my surprise, the first meeting was they were all alive in Christ. There wasn't one tired one, one yawning one. Why? And they were all present. Because of the anointing, yes. So those who continued to do whatever they were doing right, my expectations had to be what? Adjusted, yes. And I believe, again, this feast was another adjustment. Amen? How many had a few adjustments during these? Thank you. And those adjustments are godly. And it's not concerning what other people do or think. It is concerning about our walk with him. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. That's a cool part. That's the part that I get excited about. Because those that are on a walk with him are going to continue to do what God has called them to do. And it's nothing to do with your neighbor or wife or husband or friend. That's God's business. In case you forgot, you're not the Savior. Now, my suggestion is to kind of knock on the person next to you and say, you're not the Savior. You can relax. And be yourself. Amen? Continue to be holy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why is this an important message? Because we're entering a new day. And when we have an opinion about somebody that needs to be changed so that we can be comfortable, we can release it to whom? Yeah. You know, there are times that I go to the Lord and I say, oh man, I see so-and-so having such a hard time. Lord, what am I supposed to do? Well, lift them up before me. Lift them up before me. That was my job. Not how they're managing their lives or how they're being silly and wasting, whatever. Some waste time, some waste energy, some waste money. That's not your problem. Amen? And when we stop the adjustments that we have in our thoughts, the mind of Christ starts to form, right? Verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. That's our Lord. That's red letters. Amen? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So who's in charge of all of it? Now watch 14. Blessed are those who have washed their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. Yes. And may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, and murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices I would call it selfish behavior. Falsehood. Selfish behavior and falsehood so that I can have a peaceful day is a wonderful thought pattern, but it doesn't come from the tree of life. The tree of life gave you his opinion through the angel. Let those who are ugly and vile continue in what they've chosen. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to keep that alive in me and you so that we will not become critics. You know, there are times we have a tendency to kind of shove people into a mold. And when we don't see that next level develop, because they can't or haven't been able to, have you ever considered the possibility that maybe God is hardening their hearts? Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Check it out. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? Yeah. See, who hardened Peter's heart so that he could see himself? Even Peter didn't believe it. You're right. But did God harden Peter's heart so that he would deny Christ so that he could see what was in himself? And it wasn't pretty. The results were ugly. He was so depressed when he heard his mouth speak things that he never knew were inside of him. What if God didn't harden him up? Would Peter have continued on the ugly road? He was thinking on him. Yes, that's the secret. That's why it's important to let people choose and then walk out whatever they are walking out of. Because the revelator is not you. The revelator is the one that can open your mind and let you see yourself. And then the transformation is going to come. It will come when you wake up. Amen? Amen? How many times do you need to go around the same mountain to before you see how ugly you made a choice?
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Thank you. Because sometimes we are not willing to look. Or we won't admit that there's something inside that's still perking. And it's perking in the wrong direction. And we go around the same mountain and around the same mountain and you say, oh, my God, will I ever get over this? Yeah, you will. And God's on the case, and he's not going to let you off the hook until you pass the test. Now close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
You are the revelator.
You are the revelator.
And I can trust you,
to
not let me go around the mountain again, but to reveal to me the core substance that roots me back into what I think is right, especially about my neighbor.
Keep counseling me.
Don't give up
on counseling me.
No matter how many times
I need to forgive,
just like Peter was told.
70 times 7 plus.
I need to forgive.
And
I'm going to continue
to set them free.
Because God is in charge
of healing me.
Hallelujah.
He's in charge
of even those that are vile.
He's in charge
of those that are falling apart.
And doing wrong.
And I can let them continue to do wrong.
Trusting the Holy Ghost.
To clean them up.
In due season.
Amen.
See, what does that do
when we make that decision to let them into the hands of the one that can change them?
You are now free to worship him.
You're free to look at your circumstance and say, you know what?
Where would I be if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit counseling me?
Amen.
Where would I be if I didn't have his grace? If I didn't have his mercy every single day? Where would I be now if it wasn't for him?
Amen.
Loving me enough
to hold on to me in spite of my anger,
in spite of my criticalness, And those are things that we have in us.
And they are getting shaken up. Some of them are being burned because we lift them up to him. When we lift up a weakness and we lift it up on the altar, the Holy Ghost sends his fire and it gets burned. And that's the tomorrow that we're facing. As believers, we are growing and maturing. And it's always going to be that your neighbor is going to be more visible to you than you are to yourself.
Amen.
Why? Anybody know why?
Pride.
The hidden submarine under us. Hidden agendas underneath. Watch a little bit further. Verse 15. Outside are the dogs who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes to, let him take the free gift of the water of life. That's the solution. The water of life. The woman at the well was told she needed what? Living water. You and I, in some areas, need living water. So now, would you do me a favor? Lift your hands to him. Say, whatever corners,
whatever corners
are still wrong,
in me,
I'm trusting your living water,
to be released to me as I need it,
to keep cleaning me up,
and not to give up.
Not just on my neighbors,
but to give up on me.
For he who began the good work,
who is the Alpha and Omega,
he's on the job inside,
by his Holy Spirit,
transforming and healing.
Me.
That's who I'm concerned with.
Me.
Hallelujah. I am a new creation.
And it will manifest
in my mind,
in my soul,
and in my emotions.
For the Spirit of God
is on the job.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Bakashia. Yes.
I have a little testimony that really goes along with the word that you gave.
Good.
Made the decision. So the whole scenario was about somebody who had made a decision, and I knew that there was going to be some change of heart and change of mind and all of that, which did occur. And I wasn't sure how to handle it. So when the question arose, what should I do and blah, 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 will you do this for me and will you do that for me? And I said, I really would like to help you out, but I don't think I can. I think you will have to do that. So, long story short, as you would say, the situation, it took 3 days, or 2.5 days, but the situation did resolve itself, and the Lord was in total control.
Yeah.
And it worked out the way it was supposed to.
Did you notice your hands, by the words that you released, came off the situation?
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. Yes?
I'd like to confirm that message. I was driving yesterday. I drive all over the place for my job.
and I just know that God was speaking to me, the problem with humanity
yes.
is judgment.
Yes.
Is we're trying to elevate ourselves in the seat that says that, oh, well, we can show you how to do it right if you just watch. And we really have. That's the problem with humanity, is judgment.
It's also a problem with Christianity. Because everybody is trying to make Christians perfect. Mm-hmm. And when they're perfect, they can go to church.
When they're perfect, they can be like me.
Amen.
That's right.
Anyone else have some input? Because this is good, because you're giving a different perspective.
I like what she just said, too, because I need that in my house right now.
Uh-huh.
Exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm. So let those who have a different opinion act out what they want. And it's okay. Let them go. Yes?
My mind is to let it go and let God.
Yeah, but it sounds so easy.
And I guess
I'd like to help him out.
I guess that would be fine if they were living in their own houses under their own rules and their own lives and stuff. But then you have to add a different spin to this. And you have to say, go and do as you must. That's fine. When you're all living in the same house or you're living under the same roof, go and do as you must may actually send an uproar in the entire house. Now, how are you supposed to deal with that?
All right.
Just go and do as you must and everybody else will pay the consequences.
Let me just say, when you're dealing on an area where it gets a little shaky when it affects other people, okay?
When it
does, then you have to bring adjustments, but they've got to be godly ones. If you want to continue living in my house, doing what you please that hurts the rest of the family, you have got to make a move and put a timeline on it. I had a person years ago who had put up with abusive situations. You're not allowed by God to abuse your neighbor on a continuous basis, justifying their actions and reactions. So you have to make a rule at some point. Okay? Now, when the Lord gave Judas the instructions, go do quickly, he already knew what he was about to do.
Right.
And you and I, we have the same Holy Spirit available to us. And so the formula is go back to the Holy Spirit. And when you go back to the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you a timeline. And that timeline will give you instructions. Those instructions will come from him. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself, but he waited for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gave him clear instructions. Those clear instructions will give you the next level of the revelation. It will still be revelation that'll be in charge. And it'll be the Word of God confirming what he wants you to do. Because depending on the age of the person, that's going to present a whole different scenario. I've had children, I've had grandchildren, and there were times when I blew my cork, you know, exploded all over the place. And the Lord said, was really that all necessary? You know, was the whole package necessary? Was all those demonstrations? I shared with you guys when the Holy Spirit first baptized me. And my oldest son was the instrument that God used for me to wake up. Not about him, about me. And so I still had the business. The back room was a very busy place with the Lord. And he walked in, and I don't remember the details of whatever storm he went through. But he was 16 at the time. Might have been 17, the most. Whatever he told me, I saw myself stamping my feet like a kid that's 2 years old. And I was so angry at him, and all these words came out of my mouth. And I said, oh my God, Rick, I'm so sorry. I just acted like the biggest fool in town. It is not totally your fault. I'm sorry that I have just blown my cork. And he looked at me and the tears were rolling down his eyes and he said, Dad, I've never had you apologize to me for as long as we've been together. Well, that was his whole life.
God's Holy Ghost had impacted me enough to be able to say to my son, I'm sorry, I just acted like a stupid fool. I gave you a demonstration of my anger by stamping my feet like a 3-year-old. Did I do it again? No, that was a cure. Believe me, it was a cure. You know why? Because when he was 3 years old, he ran away from home. He ran away from home. And we were so concerned about where he was that we finally found him and we were calling out to him in the neighborhood and he didn't want to come home. He was angry at his parents. And I slapped him on the butt and he had little shorts on and all of a sudden I saw my fingerprints on his rear end. And the Lord reminded me that day that he was stamping his feet on our back porch. And I corrected him with a slap. He said, did I give you a slap when you stamped your feet? Or did you apologize because you were acting like a 3-year-old? So where do you think my son got his weakness from? I rest my case. Close your eyes. Say, Father, you're still on the job. Holy Spirit, you will continue to teach, counsel, and comfort me. Amen and amen.